And the Viking Valhalla Project is back on the air, and we're live, people. All right, so I've had a couple requests. You know what? I've had more than a couple requests. It's this kind of thing started back when I was about 38 years old. People say, man, I hope that I'm as capable as you are, or I look that way when I'm your age. And it's usually people that have parents my age that say this, and their parents are maybe not aging so great. So what I've done is I sat down per a couple of requests to talk about the anti-aging topic. And I want to point out, first and foremost, I absolutely don't believe in the anti-aging movement. I think that it's a great way to take advantage of people that are looking for an easy way out, or that have legitimate reasons to want to slow down legitimate health issues. So if somebody creates a magical cure, and we saw what happened in the 15th century when people were looking for the fountain of youth and things like this. Man, wanting to slow down the aging process is nothing new. So for me, what I really want to talk about in this Viking Valhalla podcast, which is, as you know, we first started this out with this effort to really focus on men's needs. And then I started kind of thinking about it a little bit more, and I came to the conclusion that there is a group of really good women out there that are not after damaging men. And I think that is the majority of women. And so I don't want to leave anybody out of this. And so I'm inviting women kind of into these folds of conversations, though there is a slight difference in the way our bodies work. And I've never been a woman, so I don't know what it's like to function as a woman. So you have to take my advice as a grain of salt, if this is even advice. This is just going to be me talking about what I've done to make my body continue to work, all right? So when people come to me and they say, hey, how do I slow down the aging process? My first thought is, what do you mean by aging? Are you talking about physical, your exterior look? You just want to be better, more attractive, better looking? And I started thinking things. When you look at people and you see this in the gym and you see this in life, you see women, for example, they're putting makeup all over their face and they're trying to present something. And I'm not a big makeup guy. I don't think women need makeup. What are they trying to present? And oftentimes they're trying to present youth, or they're trying to make themselves look older. And so they've kind of got this battle of being at that perfect ideal place. And I see the women, the number and weight that comes to my mind that I see as an MMA coach is 120. Women walk in the gym and think that they need to weigh 120 pounds. And it's kind of a wild thing. So I've ran my own personal surveys when women will allow me to have the conversation with them on ideal weight. An ideal weight comes to about 120 pounds, and it almost doesn't even matter who it is. It's there's a window, of course, between like 115 and 135, but it usually comes down to 120. And I had to put it this way with one of my students. Why would you want to be 120 pounds? Other than to attract men that want to have sex with 120 pound women. And so you've isolated yourself into a group of guys that you want to have sex with that are only into women that weigh this much. And it's nonsense. So the value of a woman has nothing to do with her weight in most cases, or little to do with her weight. Perhaps she's out of shape, perhaps she's unhealthy, perhaps weight is a sign that she's not a fit for you, but that can be the sign for men as well. So I'm not into camouflaging health issues. So what I'm kind of going to get at here is, what do we mean by youth? Is it because when you were younger, you had a faster metabolism and you processed fat easier and you didn't develop this unhealthy belly fat that you can't get rid of? Is that the stuff you're looking for? Are you looking for, man, back in my 20s, I didn't even have to fucking try, right? And so I didn't have to try. And so then I get to just eat whatever I want, and I get the results that I want because I'm young. So I have a saying that I tell my fighters. You are old for the majority of your life. That's just a fact. You have this small window where you're growing. And so I don't know how many of you would want to be 10 again, but I wouldn't want to be 10 years old. Drinking some green tea here. It's good for the brain. So people kind of long for this singular convenient window of youth. And I was contemplating that upon people asking me when or how do I slow that aging process down? And so I create a couple of questions here. What do you mean by aging? Your looks? I can't really help you. I don't know what people are attracted to, and I don't know who you're trying to attract. I don't even know what you think is attractive or what you think that you should be. But I do know that in most cases, it's somewhat contorted from reality. And to me, I'm going to give my definition of aging. The loss of ability to pursue physical activities and mental activities that you're interested in. I don't think that aging slower is immaturity. That's not what I'm talking about. The perpetual guy that can't stop partying, that's not what I mean. I don't think that that's a good option in life. And also, I don't think that I think a lot of us could probably think back into our 20s and our parents or other people saying, you need to mature, you need to grow up. And I think what they meant was, you need to become me. And there's some phrases out there that lead me to believe that. One of them is be realistic. And like Tony Robbins pointed out, that be realistic really means be negative. And conform and fit into my personal ideology of what reality is. In my personal ideology, I believe you can't make more than $15 an hour, for example. So do not apply for a job that says it pays $16, because that's not real. And it's that kind of limiting brain mentality that oftentimes people mint for you to jump into, maybe with not quite the same limits, when they say you need to grow up. So here's my deal. I don't want to create a bunch of Peter Pans. That's not my idea. But what I do want to create is a bunch of people that aren't ready to die the instant they grow slightly older than what they're told is young. So I'm breaking things down. When we talk about the anti-aging thing, so step one is kind of a mental process. We need to redefine what we consider to be old and what we consider to be young. Young to me is when your cells are still dividing, when there's still opportunity for you to make a change in your thought and grow additional brain cells, when there's opportunity for you to eat really good food. Dietarily good food. I'm not talking about going to a fancy restaurant and being spoiled. I'm talking about eating proper food and get proper results from that food. That's still young. We're not all going to be 10 years old. So when I'm training wrestlers, for example, or wrestling in MMA, what I have my preteens and my teens do is pretty savage stuff. And if I had an adult do that, in most cases it would break the adult, because they're just not as pliable. And there's also the PSI of hitting the mats hard. So if you have a bunch of 10-year-olds picking each other and slamming each other, that's one thing. But having a bunch of guys like my weight at 200, 225 pounds slamming each other at 50 years old, we've already kind of dropped the clutch on the car a lot, and so that needs to be taken into consideration, our car being our body. We're heavier. It's just that excess weight hitting the ground is a big deal. So first and foremost, when we're talking about aging, we have to appropriate behavior to that age, at least sensibly. A lot of the times what we do when we're young isn't because we're young, it's because we're naive. It's because we're uneducated in the results. Otherwise, maybe I wouldn't, for example, have somehow made a recreational pastime of jumping off the roof as a kid, but I did, and it was a huge thing, man. We would just climb up on roofs and jump off, and that was our fun time in some days. And what are the repercussions of that? I don't know. Did it create back problems for a while? I have no idea. Am I stronger for doing it? Or I don't know. So I don't know that there's any, you're young, therefore you can do this, versus you're young, therefore we can be naive with your body, is really what's happening. And since most of the time in your life you're going to be old, I really think that you should err a little bit on the side of caution if you want to have a body when you're 75. And I'm about 50 now, and I don't want to be without a body, or with a bad leg that needs to be replaced, or bad knee or something like that. I don't want anything to do with this horrible outcome of abusing myself in my youth and being stuck without mobility when I'm older. So I err to the side of caution based upon what we understand as an adult versus what people think I'm capable of as an adult. So oftentimes people think that you're not capable as an adult, and so they just kind of shut down the whole party. And what do you do for exercise? Golf. And that's not, okay, so my opinion is golf is not a sport, it's a game. And so I don't know if playing golf or just hour of soccer in a week or something in an old men's league is going to be profound enough to make a substantial difference in your life. I really believe in the step one, like I said, of the aging process is your mentality. So jiu-jitsu, for example, is a great grappling sport for people as they age, because it doesn't have to start on your feet. And when you start on the feet, that is a mass determinator of whether or not you're going to get hurt. So getting hurt from the feet is pretty common. Takedowns are unpredictable. And when people attempt throws and step across the knee, knee injuries are pretty predictable. And so even as a Sambo coach, and I train Sambo in MMA, I have to be really cautious of people really trying to win the takedown competition when we're training takedowns, because they're just highly predictable that injuries are going to come from this, as one person demands the other to be taken down and the other person demands that they will never be taken down, and something has to give. In many cases, it's either a shoulder or a knee. And I don't like my students ending up in that situation, myself or anybody else. And so there has to be, I have to build these, especially for aging athletes, in game form that allows them to work on the entire component of the takedown, from hitting the ground to the grips, while removing the risk of knee injury. And it's a challenging thing, because we're just not as pliable after 21 years old, in my experience. So step one on the aging process, it's a mentality. If you have given up because something's hard, just take hiking for example, and you're saying, you know, I don't want to hike anymore because it's hard. It was probably always hard. You just hadn't had time to get really soft yet. And people, as they age and they get used to sleeping in expensive beds and sleeping on a particular schedule and sitting in their comfortable car, which is more of an appliance, like you're driving a washing machine to work, this super comfortable seat and this super comfortable car that has no road bumps and no road noise. And so there's just this comfort level that we strive for. My belief is it creates a high level of softness in the human brain. Now, if we take that high level of softness and we apply it to a mountain trail and you want to climb a 14er, let's say here in Colorado, it's going to be much more challenging now that you're having to break the habitual nature of your lifestyle, which is really more plush than the kings of the old days had. And this, I think, is step one in aging. They're in the small town where I'm from. They have people tell me, use it or lose it. And science essentially is saying, well, here's a bunch of science behind it, but the end result is use it or lose it. And that's the absolute reality in step one. And so how does age affect us is often less a cellular division or a cellular mitosis issue. And it's oftentimes, from my experience, more a mental attitude. People our age do not do this kind of thing. I've experienced it with women that are raising daughters. Girls don't lift weights. Girls look pretty. And it's a disgusting ideology in how to raise a girl to me. And it creates weakness. And it's unnecessary to create a woman that is dependent on somebody because of their gender nowadays. And it was probably important up until now on some level, because that's the way the world was structured. But now that it is the way it is, we all get to have a terrible job now. So women do need to be raised to be stronger. But this issue affects men as well. I don't have to do it. I'm going to have another man do it who's younger. And this is a pretty sick brain function to me that people have, that they start allowing themselves to deteriorate to the point to where they just don't think that they're capable anymore. I think we're capable much longer and in the time than people believe they are. So the way this role plays into fighting, people ask me sometimes, hey coach, are you ever going to come out of retirement and, you know, maybe try to fight in the UFC or something? And early on, there was some offers on the table for me to get into the UFC when the UFC was relatively new. But one of the offers that I got, when my trainer came to me and said, hey, are you interested in fighting? Like, I think he said Tank Abbott. And I said, no, I weigh 175 pounds and I'm not Hoist Gracie. So I am not interested in fighting people that are over twice my weight. But they say, hey, how about now? And I say, well, I don't want to die now either. So there's kind of a limit in what I can do at this age based upon recovery time. So recovery time is a bit of an issue. I don't need, and this is what I'd like to get across to some people. If you are 45 or 40 or 50, 55 years old, and you're trying to lift like you did when you're 20, you may be causing more damage than good. So as you get a little bit older, what I experience is that it is not as necessary to push yourself to the breaking point like you used to get the results. What I find to be more important now is the amount of time just putting in good muscle work that doesn't cause damage in the form of an injury, and ample recovery time with proper nutrition. And the proper nutrition is tough for people. And I get tons of students that come in and say, no, I'm eating right. And because, you know, I'm eating, meat, I'm eating vegetables, I'm eating my grains. And what they mean is they're eating McDonald's. And this is an issue. So I think food and meal prep, as we're talking about habits here, food and meal prep is going to be very important if you're looking to get good results. You've got to get out of the mass consumption of saturated fats and high carbohydrates. We just don't need them again. From my understanding, why we crave carbohydrates at such a high level is because most of our evolution, we were either in a starvation period or in an ice age. And so it would make sense that if we had, hey, you're not going to get to eat again for the next week or so. So, you know, right now, what do you want to eat? And the idea at that point is like, I guess I want to put on fat so I can make it across the polar cap, for example. But now we don't have to live in that world. We have much more sustainable food sources, obviously. And then people are still eating with this Stone Age ideology from their urges. So can we break these urges? Man, yeah, I absolutely think that we can break these urges. So what foods do we need to eat? I have this real simple guide that I use. And I know that people have put a lot of time and education into this, but I'm just going to break this down in the way that I believe works the best. Put as many chlorophylls as you can on a single plate and try to get around 40 to 60 grams of protein per meal and separate it out into about four meals a day. I don't know that there's an advantage of eating six. And if you can prove me wrong, please post it up. But around four meals a day is what I find really kind of works for people. So your regular breakfast, your regular lunch, your kind of second lunch, and then a dinner. And at dinner, I tend to gorge more. And that's when I'll hit those carbohydrates really heavy. I try not to touch too many carbs until after 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But most of my carb intake is going to be really brought in right before bed. And I know that that's a weird thing for people, but what I found is that I spike my insulin less if I just take it in before I go to sleep, and I don't have as many problems with energy as if I eat that way. So as far as the supplemental stuff on the aging, I don't know how much of this stuff really works and really doesn't. I know that I believe that part of the reason my aging has significantly slower than other people my age is because my mentality is still younger. And that doesn't mean I'm interested in Subarus with those can exhausts on them or I need to put a fin on my car. It means that I'm interested in pressing myself physically. But I'm not trying to figure out what my max bench press is. I don't think that's healthy either. I think you're knocking on injury's door doing this kind of stuff. I'm interested in keeping my body in optimal functioning form. And so that means that when I lift, I'm usually lifting under the intention of being combat ready. And that's my passion, is doing sports or martial arts like sambo and jiu-jitsu and kickboxing and being functional. And though I haven't competed since 2017, when I took the Pan American Heavyweight Championship in combat sambo for Team USA, I still want to be able to do it if I'm called upon. And so for me, at this point, that's enough. I don't want to give up my future to fight anymore. But I just want to be able to take advantage of it if the opportunity arises. And so I keep my body in optimal level. That's where I feel the best. And I always feel like I'm out of shape. So I'm always trying to drive just enough to where I can get in shape, but I'm not going crazy and creating a backlash kind of sickness on the way that I'm responding to training. Like you're training 4 hours a day. Hey man, at 50 years old, it's probably too much, and you really need to be looking for that ends investment in your physical outputs on how your health is going to be when you're older, but your finances as well. So are you building your companies the right way? Are you building your investments the right way? Are you learning to keep up with the government games of how they're going to take money away from you for trying? All these need to be part of your matrix, I think, probably when you're young, but especially when you're old, because it'll catch up to us. And I've seen it happen to some people that didn't prepare for this stuff, and it's not a good look. So when we're talking about what is going to be the most creative thing, there's a couple in stopping the aging. There's a couple of things. One, I really believe that testosterone levels are highly important. And for some reason, male hormones is a taboo conversation. And people are like, ooh, testosterone. Oh my God, if you ever say testosterone, it's bad. And anybody that takes steroids is bad. And we have this fixed idea. But when women take estrogen, like, oh, poor thing. And so I don't know who created this BS narrative around male hormones being a bad thing, but my personal belief is that men die of everything more than normal if they are low on testosterone. That is from walking in front of a bus to falling down the stairs to cancers. That's my belief. Changed my mind. So I take, just so you can know what I take, and this is not a paid advertisement for BPI, but Bo Yurko, who is an advanced fuse boxer out of my gym, works for BPI, and he did a great job at kind of educating all of us on what the products in his company do. So I take the product called Solid, and I'll let you do your own research on it. But it's an anabolic and anogenic support system. Kind of creates, helps me. I can take one pill a day of this stuff, and I notice a difference in how hard I feel, my libido, phrasing, and my overall willingness to lift and to perform and train. And it also affects my mental clarity to some point, which brings me a little bit to mental clarity, that part of the food issue is your stomach produces energy from food. We can all agree with that. Those products that are produced in your stomach have to work in the brain as well. So I believe that gut health is crazy important for keeping your brain on track, as well as testosterone. I don't see that draining out one thing. Like, I look at this war on testosterone that's going on as like my daughter looks at circumcision. She goes, it's just a surgery that's not required. And the more you look into it, it is a surgery that's not required. So losing testosterone isn't required, and it should be upkept. It should be kept high. So I am a huge supporter of testosterone. I don't think the federal government needs to be involved in this, and nobody wants to watch natural athletes. That's called high school football. So those are my opinions. And it's related to this thing that I call pharmacological determinism. And the pharmacological determinism is when you come up with testosterone. Ooh, it's a drug. It's bad. It's bad. So we have, for example, mushrooms on the ballot here in Colorado. And people are like, well, I don't want that shit in my state. I'm like, what's in your state? Like, it's terrible. Why is it terrible? They can't answer the question. Name one person that has died directly because of this. And I will name one person that has died directly because of eating Tide pods. Name one person that's died of mushrooms, and I'll name one person that died in a car crash. Name one person that's died of mushrooms, and I'll name one person that's died of alcohol abuse. Name one person that's died of mushrooms, and I'll name one person that's died from cigarette smoking. You name one person that has died from mushrooms, and I'll name one person that's died from overeating. You name one person that has died from mushrooms, and I'll name one person that has died from drinking too much water. None of this stuff is required for... we don't need help with this stuff. If you want to take extra testosterone, my personal belief is take it. If you're not hurting anybody else, you're not hurting anybody else. You know, you have the right to hurt yourself or to treat yourself well. My suggestion is to treat yourself very well. The other supplement that I use is creatine monohydrate. The creatine monohydrate's gone through tremendous studies, and so all this stuff you can do your due diligence on. One of the reasons that I take creatine monohydrate is, yes, the youthful aspects of taking the supplement that it does to my muscular structure. So it keeps me from having any kind of wasting due to the age, and it's a standard dietary thing. Our brain produces creatine. We pull creatine mostly out of seafood, which isn't strong in our diets over here, and the idea that I'm trying to get at with taking creatine is to keep the mitochondria inside of my cell producing energy at an adequate function to match up with my mentality. If your body can't produce the energy for your mentality, then we have ourselves a problem. That's what I call aging right there. I'm too tired to pursue my dreams. The creatine monohydrate, if you do your due diligence on this, you're going to see that there's a lot of studies that it's helping people from mental aspects to physical aspects across the board. And there was a single study that I'm aware of where I believe it was a European who was cutting weight for wrestling and taking large amounts of creatine and died in due to maybe a kidney failure. And people took that out of context. But I don't know why we don't take this out of context with cigarette smoking and alcohol. We just take it out of context with anything that we weren't raised with, really, is what it seems. So to break this down one more time, the step one of remaining young, I'm adamant about this, you have to control your thoughts. You can't start looking at old things, doing old things, and isolating yourself to old things and old people. If all your friends are 75 years old and you're 50, you got yourself a problem, my belief. Conquering things in your life, taking that Viking mentality of conquering and really moving forward with it, I find to be highly, highly credible on keeping youth and keeping you interesting. And this, I think, is going to affect you if you're single and in the dating scene, especially as you age. I know dating is hard when you're young, but as you age, it's even more difficult. I find that women in their 20s are looking for kind of that fatherish type of figure if they're interested in people at my age. But at the same time, they want equal control without equal time in the game. And so there's some complexities to dating down in age and dating up in age. So if you date down just a little bit less into the 30s, then they seem to be looking for the next baby, the final baby, before they age out of the ability to have a healthy child. And if you're in your 50s and you're looking at having another baby, that's great. But if you're not, then there's a significant issue there. And then finally, if you get into their 40s, what I've found, and I'm sure that there are women, you have plenty of stories of what it's like to date men as well. I don't have those stories, so I'm just giving you what I've perceived over the years with women. If they're in their 40s, they're usually looking for you to correct some errors that they've been making in their 20s and 30s, trying to fix those things that I just mentioned. And then women in their 50s, I don't really have any experience with, but for the most part, if they're super attractive, they're either married and well-kept, or they have a game kind of going because they're an attractive 50-something-year-old woman that has some assets built up, and they don't need anybody, and so they play the field, or they have a screw loose, or they're just in their 50s and they hadn't taken care of themselves all the way through their 20s and 30s and 40s and just kind of relied on that youth. And if you're a guy that's taking care of himself, you arrive and there all of a sudden is this busted 50-year-old person that you don't have anything in common with. So the anti-aging game is going to play a couple of tricks on men and women on who it's going to bring into their life. Definitely not going to take away any of our personal craziness, but it opens up the options to bring in different generational age gaps in dating, and there is some significant reward, benefit, and challenges and hurdles with each generation that you are going to approach. So that is an advantage of aging slower, and I don't know that there's any disadvantage of aging slower. That's put that just like that. I don't know that there is any disadvantage. So go over this again. We're talking creatine monohydrate. I really advise you to take a look at it and see what you think. And then a good supplement for testosterone. And BPI, their products are herbal based and I've had great results and I don't have any kidney pains or anything like that from taking them. So I really suggest taking a look at what BPI has to offer. And if you want to look up Bo Yurko, you can look him up online and on social networking and take a look, ask him any questions. I'm sure he's going to really appreciate that in his business. Great guy. They're having a baby here pretty soon. I'm super excited to see that child come into the world. And him and Shauna, his wife, they're going to be wonderful parents. So looking forward to that. I don't want to get into too many other supplements, but the last one that I'm going to get into that I recommend that you take a peek at for slowing the aging process inside of the brain is lion mane's mushrooms. Until we can get psilocybin mushrooms legalized here in Colorado to where we can use those at a microdose level to repair brain issues from as we age. So lion's mane mushroom, pick that stuff up. Take a look at it, see what it can do for you. CDP choline is required to think, so I would look at that as well. DHA works well for the brain also, and I've got a lot more that I have on the supplemental form. I'm not going to get into them all in this episode. I'm going to cut this one kind of short since it's kind of boring, but anti-aging, man, it comes right down to it. Change your mind, change your life. And start perceiving things, start setting goals instead of just dreams. The difference is when you write them down. So maybe your goal is to just get out and do a jiu-jitsu tournament. Maybe it's just to do a kickboxing tournament. But, you know, I think those are wonderful goals and they're going to require a youthful body. So they're going to require you to make some changes that you otherwise may not. And this goes for doing adventure races, mountain biking, whatever the awesome thing that you want to do is. It's going to require you to make some substantial changes from the approved lifestyle from the FDA or when the agricultural companies portion of the government, U.S. Department of Agriculture, created the food pyramid for us to eat off of so they can sell the proper foods to make the economy run so they can run their farms. Start looking deep into what dietary supplements and what dietary habits that you need to create in order to, or to inherit in order to live a long and healthy life as a younger person. So look at, for this is my piece of advice for looking at the world as changing your mind to look at the world as a younger person. I look at myself as if I'm in the final stage of youth. There's no way I'm old. So, you know, there's women my age like, we're old. Like, we don't have anything to talk about from that moment on. It's I appreciate those people as people, but we don't have anything to talk about as far as moving forward. I don't want to be around people telling me I'm old. It's not what I want to hear. So I want people to look at me, and I hope you take on this, the same adoptive personality trait. Look at me for the capability that I have, not for a penalty. Don't look at me and penalize me because I haven't died yet. The idea of being in the final stage of youth and having it last maybe till 65, 70 years old versus being middle-aged or over the hill or some negative mental definition. So you start out in your first stage of youth as a baby, you're no more valuable, you're no more useful than an elderly person. Actually, probably less. You don't provide much, right? And as we age, we become more valuable, and then we get to be the most valuable. And as you're in your final stage of youth, I think this is the most valuable time that we can be to our community and to our culture, because not everything has to come down to a gross national product value. What kind of value do you bring to the lives of other people? So please don't waste this final stage of youth if you are somewhere between 50 and 70. Let's bring that vibrance back into our life by changing how we view this. Final stage of youth is way better than just being old, man. So that kind of sums that up. And before I cut this off, the final thing is Himalayan sea salt, finite resource. Get some while you can. Take about a half a teaspoon in the morning in a glass of water. and get those minerals into you. They'll if you have age spots coming on, they'll cause your body to communicate cellularly better, and you'll redistribute melatonin, and they'll get rid of age spots. And from what I can see, in most cases, and it does a crazy good job at it. So if it's doing that to one thing, I'm sure it's doing that to many things. I don't know completely to what degree it does that, but if you're not taking Himalayan sea salt, you're definitely cutting yourself short on mineral consumption. So that's it. This is Michael Sullivan with Viking Valhalla Podcast, and that's everything I wanted to touch. Now, hey, feel free to keep chiming in on these podcasts and maybe jump online at www.fusebox.com. Take a look at the facility, see what our fighters are doing inside of the gym and how they're growing and some of their goals and prospects of future events that is going on. I love helping people attain the next level. And the Viking and Valhalla Podcast will at some point be getting a website once we get enough people to make it worth it. So if I'm talking about things that you find valuable, please chime in, let me know. And if I'm not, please chime in, let me know, and tell me, hey, coach, knock it off. So Michael Sullivan, Viking and Valhalla Podcast out of Denver, Colorado. Guys, talk to you real soon.